Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company, the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today, 732-370-5963. 732-370-5963, richgreenlawns.com.
Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by NJR Home Services. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Good day, everybody. Happy World Series. I'm Greg Giamborisi. This is Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Today, we take you down to Arizona, the Arizona Fall League, and 2022 Blue Claws right-handed pitcher Brett Scholes, who spent some time, about a month, month and a half, with the Blue Claws this summer, and then was promoted to Double-A Redding at the end of the year. He's recovering from Tommy John surgery. Phillies give him some more work down in Arizona this fall. So good to talk to Brett. You're really going to like him. He was drafted by the Phillies back in 2019, seventh round of the University of Minnesota. So we talk about that. We talk about his injury. We talk about the World Series. Remember, he's there with a grouping of former Blue Claws down there, including Johan Rojas, Jaylene Ortiz, Taylor Lehman, Christian Hernandez, among Carlos De La Cruz, among others. So they're all down there. Francisco Morales is the other. So they're all down there now, and they've been watching this magical Phillies run together, and we talk about that. I mean, Brett noted that some of the Houston Astros farmhands are with the Phillies. They're on the same team. So there are six teams in the AFL, and each one includes prospects from five different organizations. So he was there for that, and talk about the Astros and stuff too in advance of the World Series. We also asked him if he was surprised that Josh Hader didn't come in to face Bryce Harper in game five of the NLCS, and I don't think you're going to be too surprised at his answer. Without further ado, Blue Claws right-handed pitcher Brett Scholes.
Brett Scholes joins us from the Arizona Fall League. Brett, how do you like it out there?
Oh, it's amazing out here. Treating us really well. Team's really good. And it's fun watching the Phillies win from out here, too.
Yeah, so that was where I was going to start. How easily have you been able to follow the Phillies? I know you guys play day games. You're 3 hours away. You play some day games. You're three hours away. How have you – and you have six or seven players out there plus a coach or two from the organization. So how have you guys kind of bonded there around the Phillies, and have you followed it?
We've been able to follow it a good bit. Like you said, it's kind of tricky depending on what our schedule is, what the Phillies schedule is. But we're actually playing with the Astros organization too. So there's been a lot of in-house heckling from the other teams, the other clubhouse guys. But no, it's been pretty amazing. I'm really happy that I'm able to still be around a lot of the Phillies guys, you know, especially in this atmosphere, you know, still playing, still in season while that season's going on, rather than, you know, being home, watching it with my family or just by myself. So I still feel like I'm, you know, pretty a part of the team, even though I'm out here.
Did you see Harper's home run on Sunday live, or were you playing?
Oh, we saw that live. Yeah. Me, Lehman, a couple other Phillies guys, we were going nuts.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Would you have brought in Hader?
Had to bring in Hader. I don't know what was going on. Like, you know, we had seen those problems before. Like, I remember it was a big thing with Snell in 2020 getting pulled
in
the World Series. So then out here, they let him ride, and Snell was really good. But then Hader, nothing. It reminded me of Zach Britton a little bit too, and how he wasn't thrown when he was with the Orioles. Kind of the same thing. Like, you got the best left-handed hitter, I mean, at least in our lineup, probably in the playoffs now. And, you know, him and Alvarez. And then you got one of the hottest left-handed pitchers. Like, that's a matchup everybody wants to see. So I was kind of surprised by it.
Oh, yeah, no. I was texting a couple of different people. I texted one person who was at the game in the eighth inning, the middle of the eighth inning, during the commercial break. And I said, is Hader warming up? And he said, yeah, I assume he's warming up for Harper. I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense, because you have Suarez to face Real Muto and then bring Hader. And okay, and then they didn't do it, and they paid for it. All right, so, I know you're going to have to pick the Phillies, but how many games for the World Series?
It'd be really cool to see Phillies in five, to see them bring it home
in Philly.
In Philly, yeah, because what the Astros haven't lost yet, and then the Phillies haven't lost at home.
At home, yeah.
So if the Phillies can claw one out of those first two Nola Wheeler games, one of those two, then just bring it home. That'd be pretty electric. I'd like to see Phillies in five.
That would be pretty electric for sure. Yeah, if you thought Sunday was wild, wait. Next Wednesday would be crazy. All right, so your season, you're coming back from Tommy John surgery. Your season started a touch late relative to everybody else because you're still going through your rehab. You don't get here till July. You probably get on the mound early July with the Threshers, give or take. And now in the AFL to finish. It went to Reading and now in the AFL. Overall for you, how do you feel physically and where you are from that standpoint?
Feel pretty solid. It's been a long year. We kind of knew that coming in. A lot of the rehab guys, myself included, we got down to Clearwater to start our mound progressions in January, February. So it's been a long, long little season, even though, like you said, I've only actually played maybe 3-4 months now. Body's holding up really well, though. The rehab process, it got me right for sure. We were really smart about that, kind of taking our time coming back, making sure that I'd be ready for the long haul rather than rushing back and trying to play more earlier. So I think we did a really good job there. The staff in Florida is amazing. Playing well out here. The guys around me are amazing too. That always helps. I feel like I'm almost in more of a mid-season stride right now.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of other guys down here, they've played the full 6-7 month long season where, I'm probably right in the middle of it for me. So I'm actually a little bit fortunate in that regard and feel like I'm in a pretty good spot.
You got a taste of Double A at the end of the year. And now you're down here against, some of the best prospects in the sport. What kinds of ways or do they challenge you, the hitters, in ways that maybe you didn't get earlier in the year?
Like you said, the talent is unbelievable. The depth, you see a lot of 3-hole hitters in the 7, 8, 9 spot in lineups. So, you can't really take a batter off. That's a big thing I've noticed here. I've been coming in a bunch of different situations from the bullpen. So it almost makes it a little bit easier where when everyone's good, you have to be locked in at all times. Watching the other guys, the starters, the other guys in the bullpen, how they attack hitters kind of paves the way for the rest of the guys. So when I come in, later in the game, I generally have a fairly decent approach with what those guys are doing and, following kind of the footsteps of everyone else before me.
Do you notice that if the hitters are maybe less likely to, chase a slider that's in the dirt or like a letter high fastball than you might see at a lower level?
Yeah, you get a lot better takes down here. That kind of goes to the hitters' approaches where, a guy, if they're sitting on a pitch, they'll take a couple, whether they're really good or really bad from my end. They'll stick to their approach a lot longer, which, it's good. It makes me work a little bit harder. It makes me be more precise with what I'm doing, makes me better. And also, it makes them better because at the end of the day, whether I'm pitching against my team, other teams, everyone's trying to get to the big leagues. So whatever the approach is, whatever I'm trying to work on, whatever they're working on, the more we challenge each other, the more we test each other, that's what's going to bring out the best of everybody. So it helps out everybody, I think.
So when did you get hurt? Beginning of 21.
21 spring training, yeah. First week.
Yeah. And it's obviously, you got drafted in 19 and you had a really good year with Williamsport. And then you probably would have been here in Lakewood, low A at the time, in 2020. No season. So was it – obviously you never want to miss a year. Was it tough for you, like mentally, like what were you feeling when you got hurt knowing that by the time you would come back, it would be, 30 months after you had last pitched almost 3 years, I guess, since July, September of 19 to August of, or July of 22. What were the emotions going through your head at that time?
In 21, everyone was really excited, obviously, like you said, coming off of the yearless 2020. where no one got to play. So everyone was really pumped, myself included. So, you know, when everyone came out of the gate, you know, really excited, really, really hot on the bullpen mounds, everything like that. Everyone was ready to go. So that was tough to get hurt. Obviously got the news, after a couple tests were run, you know.
Did you know when you threw it?
Yeah. I had a pretty good idea. Elbow was really sore. It was pretty swollen the following days. So got it looked at, sure enough, had to get the surgery. So that was tough. It was a little bit easier once I knew that I needed surgery, because I could kind of deal with it when I was waiting around and just kind of watching spring training games and stuff like that for a week. That was tough. You know, tried to support my my buddies and everyone that was out there, but not knowing was probably a lot more difficult than getting hurt and then actually getting the news like, hey, this is the plan. Because then you can kind of just go full steam ahead.
You attack the rehab. Yeah,
exactly. So then you just kind of fall in love with that. But yeah, the tougher part was probably getting hurt and that few day span before I got tests run and everything, where everything was kind of up in the air, but obviously not what anybody's looking forward to, especially after missing a year. But yeah, once we had surgery, then it was kind of, you know, full steam ahead. This is going to be my season. So kind of just, like I said, fell in love with the rehab process, ended up having a fair amount of surgeries that year. We had a pretty deep rehab team, which obviously no one wants, but it actually, I think it made the support system a lot better. So, you know, the more people that were going through things at the same time ended up making us a lot better. So obviously unfortunate circumstances, but I think came out of it on the other end a lot better.
What was a typical day like in the rehab process in Clearwater?
Yeah, so we were down in Florida for the whole summer. So, you know, it gets hot. We're in and out of there as early as possible before the midday heat hits. So we're probably getting in there when the sun comes up, you know, doing all the prep. Pre-throw was a lot heavier volume than post-throw, just to make sure everything's ready. But yeah, it was pretty much in there, you know, 7 o'clock hour, maybe 8 o'clock or so some days. And then, you know, you're getting out of there about 1 o'clock after lunch, try to hammer the mornings pretty good if we could.
What'd you do the rest of the day?
Rest of the day, that was either beach time or Netflix time. It kind of depended on what we had. If it was nice out and if we had a pretty easy day, then people would try to venture out, you know, get away, try to separate ourselves a little bit. If we had a long day, you know, once we get to mound work and all those progressions, like then the days got pretty long. You're there until 3-4 in the afternoon. Then you just want to go back and put the
You're exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, look, there are worse places to, if you're stuck rehabbing, I guess there are probably worse cities in America to get stuck in, right?
Oh, yeah. The Tampa Bay area is unbelievable. You had the Bucks, so became a big Tom Brady Buccaneers fan for a little bit. Had the Lightning. They were dominating. So, yeah, there was still plenty to do, which was nice. Kind of.
When did you get on the mound? Yeah, when did you get on the mound for the first time?
Got on the mound for the first time this past late January, early February. I forget if that was, I think that was 9.5 months post-surgery, something like that.
But before spring training.
Before camp, yeah. I think the lockout had just ended or was about to end, something like that, once I was starting my bullpen progression.
Yeah. So, the lockout ended probably early March.
Early March. I had started doing some mound work as far as like different drills, but probably first bullpens, like full go with fastballs, were probably around late February, early March, like you're saying.
So you're born in Minnesota, you stay home and go to the University of Minnesota and got drafted in 2019. I assume big Twins fan growing up?
Huge Twins fan growing up. Oh yeah.
And some good teams.
Yeah. Oh, Joe Mauer, once he got called up, I mean, everyone was a Twins fan.
Who was the pitcher that you liked?
Growing up, it was Johan Santana. That was the man right there. Joe Nathan on the back end out of the bullpen. Those teams, early thousands, unbelievable.
Were you always a reliever?
I was kind of a hybrid. In college, I started as a freshman, became the bridge bullpen guy. 2018, 2019, became kind of the high leverage guy. That meant, you know, anywhere from the third inning to the ninth. Will Poe piggybacked, so I'm pretty comfortable doing anything. I've gotten a little bit more used to the bullpen setup as of late, obviously coming off of the rehab. But yeah, I've got multiple pitches, so I think stretching me out has worked before. Also keeping me to, you know, 1-2 inning stints, that's worked as well. I'm pretty comfortable in any role, which is nice. But I've also had the opportunity to do it. So, you know, some people it's just been exclusively starting, exclusively bullpen, where I've had a decent mix, depending on, you know, college, pro ball, all that.
Who was the best hitter that you faced in college and the best hitter you faced in pro ball?
Oof. In college, I would say Adley Rutschman, but unfortunately, when he came up to the plate when I faced him in college, my head coach intentionally walked him, so I didn't have to face him. Yeah, besides that, probably I faced Keston Hierstedt, or no, I faced Keston Hura with the Brewers from UC Irvine my opening weekend of my college career. My freshman year, we went to Irvine, and that was probably the scariest at bat I'd had to that point. Yeah.
And have you faced Keston Hierstedt down there in Arizona? I know he's been playing great.
He's killing it. I don't think I faced him, thankfully, but I've seen a few of our guys face him, and it's not easy with that guy.
Who of the Phillies guys down there have stood out for you? Everybody seems to be playing well.
Everyone's been doing a good job. Yeah. It's been interesting with the playing time because everyone has rotations, you know, kind of
right.
you get your shifts in. So Ortiz, he wasn't playing a ton to begin with. And then he's been hot the last week or two. De La Cruz is a stud. He's getting some time at first base, feeling comfortable over there. His power is unbelievable. Rojas does whatever he wants, it seems like, and it all works. So that's always fun to watch. And obviously we got me, Lehman, Morales, and Christian. Everyone's been.
The play where. Hey, there. Yeah, there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The play where Rojas stole home on the throwback.
Yeah.
But that was pretty crazy. Have you ever seen him do that before? I don't know that I've seen anybody do that in a real game.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. That's some high school stuff. You know, maybe you see a bad throw to the pitcher and someone takes it. But no, I haven't seen that out here. I think one of our teammates, Samad Taylor with the Royals, I think he stole home maybe 2 weeks ago on a similar situation. And me and Morales, we were heckling Rojas a little bit. Like, hey, man, I haven't seen you steal home. What are you doing? Like, Taylor kind of one-up you here. And then sure as hell, you know, last week he takes the bag and we're like, all right, you can do whatever you want, man. All right, my bad.
I saw that. And he made a couple seen a few great catches he's made. He seems to be playing really well down there.
He's a magnet out there. It's really nice having him back.
What are your goals for yourself for the offseason? I know after you get through here, you'll get a little break. Goals for the offseason and heading into 23.
As of now, kind of take the holidays, relax, kick the feet up. It's been a long year, been a lot of travel, which, you know, I'm thankful for, especially after missing the travel for a couple of years with rehab and COVID. But hopefully kick the feet up for a little bit, spend some time with family, go back home to Minnesota, enjoy the cold, get out of the heat for a little bit. And then, yeah, maybe around January, February, start getting back down to Florida, start turning baseball back on a little bit.
So did you play other sports? Did you play hockey? What other football? I mean, how did you get into baseball there in Minnesota?
Played basketball growing up. It was basketball, baseball. Played hockey just like recreationally with my buddies, you know, skate around whenever we wanted to. Wasn't good enough. Minnesota hockey is a different animal. So like you're either a dude or you're not. And at a young age, I wasn't. So I just, I enjoyed it a little bit more than competing, but yeah, maybe go to a couple wild game once I get back there too, see how the boys are doing.
How close from Maple Shade, how close is that to Minneapolis?
It's about 25 minutes away. So just a suburb outside, not far at all.
Like the when they had the Metrodome there forever, they built a new stadium, no roof. Do people like no roof? It seemed odd being it, you know, up there. I think the purest you want no roof, but I mean, you end up playing when you start super early. It could, you know, yeah. And it's 35 degrees. That's a little tough. Do you like playing the cold?
I'm kind of used to the cold. A lot of people, especially once we get to Florida, had problems gripping the ball, and I had a big problem with that because, you know, I'm used to the dry cold where I squeeze the ball pretty good. Suddenly I'm sweating everywhere. It's a completely different issue. But I like it. It's all I've really known. So now that the weather's getting a little bit chillier once the sun goes down out in Arizona, everyone else is layering up, and I'm finally back to my element a little bit.
What are they working on with you there? I know you're there to get work, but like, how much do they tweak? You know, do they do anything where they tweak, you know, your delivery or your grips, or is it just pretty kind of laid back? Is the wrong word, but not laid back in terms of effort or energy that you're putting into it, but in just terms of adjustments. What kind of coaching are you getting down there?
Yeah, it's kind of to that end, like you're saying, it's a little bit more laid back, kind of a more player led, I think, team that we have here, which is great. We've got a lot of older guys, so a lot of college guys. So we have a healthy mix of staff and players that are able to mix and match a little bit, you know, where if I have an outing where I walk a couple guys, you know, I don't need to go and reinvent the wheel. You know, I was just off a little bit. Just got to get back in there. Couple little tweaks, you know, and catch play the following day, maybe throw a little bullpen, get everything dialed back in. But everyone here, for the most part, especially my teammates, are all so good. Like, everyone's such a high caliber player that a lot of them can kind of just lead themselves, which makes, you know, to your point, makes it feel like it's really laid back. But a lot of my teammates, they've been around, they know what they're doing, they're really good players. So everything just comes a little bit easier. There's less time to really, like, you know, spend on refining a ton of things, or, you know, reinventing the wheel, or, oh, you had a bad day, or you struggled with this. You know, everyone kind of knows themselves a lot better. You know, those that have been playing for a little bit. So it's a little bit easier to kind of just critique. Oh, I was a little bit off here. Oh, I could correct my grip, or, you know, where I was in space, my mechanics just a little bit. And then people get right back to dominating. So it's a little bit more laid back, like you're saying, but everyone just has such a good feel, you know, from the hitter side, from the pitcher side. Everyone understands what they're good at and where they need to be. So it makes kind of playing with everybody a lot less stressful. It's pretty easy going.
Yeah, Travis Herger, you work with Brad Bergeson, Matt Hockenberry up in Reading. What kinds of things did you take from those guys during the season?
Towards the end of the season, with Bergie in High A, and especially with Hawk in Double A, it was a lot of just the preparation side of things, where, you know, obviously execution is going to be execution. Did you do what you wanted? Which everyone can always work on, but a lot of things that they hammered on was just being ready. You know, like, was that the right thing to do at that time? You know, was the plan in place? You know, kind of getting back into the attack mindset, especially for me, because, you know, you pointed on, I hadn't been playing in a long time. So kind of getting back into the preparation, the mindset, you know, having that plan and having it be, you know, to my strength, not as much to react on who's in the box, but what am I good at? What do I need to do better? You know, kind of put the pressure on me, the accountability on me as the pitcher, whoever has the ball, and just make sure what you're trying to do is the right thing. And then obviously we can always go and correct on execution and, you know, if I actually delivered and stuff, but just making sure the time of the game, the situation, what I'm good at that day, all that's in line with what we want to do. So a lot of that was kind of what they were touching on, which, for the most part, you know, once you get to Double A, that's all people need to do, you know, kind of make sure they're all in line. And then the execution just kind of comes with the territory of playing.
What is the key for the Phillies in the World Series?
Keep hitting.
Yeah.
Keep hitting. Win on Nola and Wheeler Day. Rangers been killing it. So strong starts. Bullpen's been crazy good. I'd say keep hitting. When you're playing with a lead, it's a lot easier to play. So keep hitting. Let Nola, Wheeler, Ranger, and the boys on the mound, let them do their thing and just keep the carousel turning.
Of the guys that are up there now, maybe some of the younger guys, have you had any interaction with them? I mean, you were drafted in 19, so obviously several of them were still in the minors and into into spring training of 2020 before everything shut down. You know, had you had any interaction with them? Anybody kind of helped you out or you positive interactions with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I lived with Stott in 19 after the draft when we were in Wilpo, so we lived together up there, and we have a pretty friendly dynamic. We always keep it loose and just try to heckle each other. We actually don't talk too much about baseball, try to get away when we can, because, you know, especially where he is at right now, everything is baseball all the time. But no, when I would see those guys, you know, they were going through big league camp and I was still going through the rehab process. It was all light, friendly, keep it loose. And clearly up in Philly, they're keeping it loose. They're relaxed. They're playing well. So I think that's probably it's probably been a big key to how well they've been doing. It seems like everyone's having a lot more fun playing loose. There's a lot of trust with each other. You know, if one guy has a bad day, it's not the end of the world. Doesn't seem like anybody's pressing anymore. So it's fun for me to watch too, because I know when Stott's playing loose and he's playing free, you know, kid's a maniac out there. He'll make all the plays.
Have you texted him at all during this run or during the summer?
A little bit throughout the summer, but I try to stay away during the
play. Yeah, let him go.
Whatever he's doing, you know, keep doing it.
Brett, thanks so much for a few minutes. Really appreciate it. Keep up the great work in the fall and best of luck into the winter. Enjoy some time off and get back at it there in 23.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks to Brett Schulz for joining us here on episode 50 of Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Lightstar Energy Group is a leading brokerage energy firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower costs, personal attention, and outstanding service. Call 732-722-5880 to learn more about Lightstar Energy Group today. So thanks to Brett Schulz for joining us. That was great. Really enjoyed that. Getting ready for Game 1 of the World Series. We're going to sneak in one more episode with Tony Graham before Game 1, so you can listen to that. And with Tony, we're going to go kind of through. Tony texted me after Harper's home run the other night or the next day, his biggest hits in Philly's history. So we'll talk about those and get ready for the World Series. Blue Claws have a special promotion ongoing right now, and that means it's our Phillies fan plan. If you buy a 2022 Blue Claws ticket package, you'll get a special replica Boys of Summer sand sculpture featuring Rhys Hoskins, Carlos Ruiz, Ryan Howard, and Cole Hamels. Book your 2023 Blue Claws partial plan before the end of the World Series to take advantage. For more, you can log on to blueclaws.com or call 732-901-7000, option 3. 732-901-7000, option 3. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Go Phils. Thanks for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter, Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.